Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram. Rakupati Rao Rao Ram, Patita Pavana. Patita Pavana Sitaram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Lai Ram 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 Hanuman Patita Pavana Sitaram Rakupati Radhava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Lai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Lai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Lai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Hanuman, Hanuman, no, Hanuman, no, Hanuman, Hanuman, no, Hanuman, Hanuman, no, Hanuman, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Eat.
Brahmahamsa-parvacharya holstu-tara-santu-shiva-shima, his divine grace, Abhayacharana-bhaktivedanta-gosami-shila-prabhupada-kijaya, ISKCON founder acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Siddhavira Stakur ki jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Siddhavira Gadadha, Shiva Siddhigaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gopikabhanath Shyam Kunda Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuram ki jai, Jagadatasami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimati Lasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premananda, Hari 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 Bol. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharani, Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. Somagana Timirandasha, Gananjana Shilakaya, Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So this afternoon, or this evening, or this morning, depending on where you are, we're going to talk about Sita Devi. And this morning in Bhagavatam class, we gave the class about Sita Devi, and we got up to the point, basically, where Sita Devi and Ram, they're in the forest. And what happens is that Sita Devi gets kidnapped by Ravana because Maritsh has drawn Ram and Lakshman away from the ashram in the Dandakaranya forest. And Sita Devi, actually it's not the real Sita Devi. Just let's be clear about this, because as Prabhupada said, had the real Sita Devi been touched by Ravan, then Ravan would have died before he could touch her. So it's not the real Sita Devi, it's Maya Sita, Chaya Maya Sita, who is Vedavati and who is Boo Devi, B-H-U Devi, not B-O-O Devi. And Boo Devi is an expansion of but she's an expansion of Sita Devi, and Sita Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So as we were mentioning this morning in class, that the Lord's primary consort, that is Radha or Lakshmi or Sita, they are the same person, but in the category of Shakti, Shakti Tattva. We are in the category of Jiva Tattva. So we can never be Lakshmi, we can never be Sita, certainly we can never be Ram. But Ram is Vishnu Tattva. So we can never be Sita, Lakshmi, Radha, not even Yashodamai, or not even any of the coward friends of Krishna, like, I mean, we could become a coward friend of Krishna, but we can't become Sridham or Sudham. And you certainly couldn't become Madhu Mangal. So don't aspire to be Sita Devi, aspire to serve Sita Devi. So the real Sita Devi was taken away by Agni for safekeeping, and the Maya Sita was put there in her place to be kidnapped by Ravan. And Ravan, of course, is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know the story of Jai and Vijay, who were cursed to become demons so they could come down to the earth So the Lord could enjoy Parichanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. The Lord enjoys that. And the Lord enjoys different rasas, such as the angry ras, Rudra ras, or Hasya ras, which means humor, chivalry, fear, bhaya. The Lord enjoys all these things. So that's why these pastimes took place. And also, as we mentioned this morning, the reason Sita Devi had to be there, in addition to the fact that she's always accompanying Ram, is that Ravan was cursed to die because of a woman. He was cursed by Parvati when Parvati got upset that he was lifting Kailash Hill. And he was also cursed by Nalakuvara, who was upset because Ravan had raped Nalakuvara's wife, Rama. Anyway, that's another story. So, in any case, we have Sita Devi, and not the real Sita. And the reason Prabhupada mentions this, one reason Prabhupada mentions this, is that if one tries to have Sita without Ram, one gets Durga. Or Maya, an illusory Sita, or an illusory Lakshmi. We were talking about this the other day in regard to Lakshmi Puja, which many of you Hindus love to do. And you have this ceremony when you're worshiping Lakshmi, you're not supposed to spend any money even on Krishna, which is kind of ridiculous. I'm using a kinder word here. Because guess what? If you are worshiping Lakshmi without Narayan, if you're worshiping Sita without Ram, if you're worshiping Radha without Krishna, you get Durga, and you don't get Durga's blessing, you get Durga's curse. That's right. So your worship of Lakshmi is getting you Durga's curse if you are not worshiping Narayan at the same time. Right. Is what okay? So I got some messages here. Hindus also worship Lakshmi and Ganesh. No, they have to have Narayan there at the same time. That's right. That's right. And if you have Ganesh, you actually have to have Lakshmi and Narayan at the same time. Narayan has to be there. Of course, if you're worshiping Lakshmi as a devotee of Narayan, that's a different thing. Anyway, but unless you actually have somehow or other have consciousness of Narayan there, you get the opposite result, and that's why you're suffering. And even if you get a lot of money and you think that that's the result of your worshiping Lakshmi, that money becomes the source of your unhappiness. Because money is not equal to Lakshmi. Lakshmi does not equal money. Money is an end to certain things you want, but Lakshmi means opulence. Not just money. It means good health, family, all your needs being met, and ultimately the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So we really have to understand what Lakshmi is. It's not some gold coins. And we think like that. So anyway, so this is one of the main purposes of this story is to show that if you get, like Ravan, Lakshmi without Narayan, or you try for Lakshmi without Narayan, or you try for Sita without Ram, you get Durga, Adiatmik, Adibodhik, and Adidaivik miseries. No mention of money there. You may get money. That's right. You may get money. But money does not buy you happiness. Money may drown you. Just like the story of that one Brahmin who had a lot of money and he wanted to cross a river and he was so attached to all his gold, he held on to his gold as he was crossing the river and he drowned. At least he had all of his gold. But he drowned. So anyway, so that's a hint for all of you who are attached to worshiping Lakshmi. I'm attached to worshiping Lakshmi Narayan, Sita and Ram, and also Sita, Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. So the Lord is always accompanied with his associates, like we worship Lord Chaitanya. So at least if you worship Lord Chaitanya, you have to have Lord Nityananda there. Or the whole Panchatattva, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasiri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So if you worship Durga, then you get Durga's mercy, Adiyatmik, Adivodik, Adidaivik, miseries from. If you worship Durga as a devotee and say, Durga, give me Krishna consciousness, that is a different thing. But if you worship her separately, with a separate conception, then you get Adiyatmik, Adibodhik, and Adidaivik. That's, what can I do? You get miseries from the body, mind, miseries from other living entities, and miseries from the material nature in general. Anyway, let's get back to the story. So Ravan, in order to kidnap Sita Devi, he employed the help of his uncle Marich. Now Marich was very reluctant to help Ravan because previously Uncle Marich had been defeated by Ram two times. One time, Uncle Marich had actually tried to destroy the fire sacrifice of Vishwamitra Muni, and Ram and Lakshman were there. And Ram fired his arrow at Subahu and Marich. Subahu was killed, but Marich was thrown into the ocean 80 yojanas away. That's 800 miles away. Thrown into the ocean. And then later on, Marich tried to attack Ravan as he took, Ram, as he took the form of an eight-legged beast. Ooh. And Ram fired his arrow, and Marich was able to escape. And from that point forward, it's mentioned in the Valmiki, the Ramayana, that Marich took sannyas. And he was chanting the names of Lord Shiva when he was a sannyasi. And he was so afraid, he could not even say the syllable Ra. Because Ra goes before Ma, like Rama, Rama. He could not even say Ra. He was so scared. You know, anytime he heard that syllable, he started PTSD. He had post-traumatic stress disorder. So Ravan convinced him... convinced him to help in the kidnapping of Sita Devi by him taking the form of a golden deer. Of course, he first refused, but Ravan had an argument that really convinced him. Ravan said, I am going to kill you if you don't do it, my dear uncle, nice nephew. And so Marich agreed. He said, better to be killed by Ram than Ravan, which is true. You don't go back to Godhead by being killed by Ravan, you go back to Godhead by being killed by Ram. So he was thinking like that. Okay. So he agrees, takes the form of a golden deer, lures Ram away because Sita Devi is insisting, you got to get that deer, you got to get that deer, you got to get that deer. That's a message for all of you men. You don't always have to do what your wife asks you to do because you may be in trouble after that. Anyway, so he runs after the deer, kills the deer, discovers it's Uncle Marich. Uncle Marich cries out as he dies, Ram, Lakshman, 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 Siti, save me. And, of course, Lakshman doesn't want to go because he knows Ram cannot be hurt. But Sita Devi makes some, or Maya Sita in this case, she makes some accusations. She says, actually, you wanted to enjoy me. That's why. And Lakshman's unable to bear this, and he leaves. Now, the story of Lakshman Rekha is not there in the Valmiki Ramayana, so I'm not going to tell that story. Sorry about that, Prabhus and Prabhis. So Lakshman goes away, and then Ravan comes in his airplane. He lands his airplane. And his airplane is not the Pushpaka Vimana at this particular point. His airplane is an airplane pulled by donkeys, which we call asses,
with human heads. Whew. And so he makes believe he's a Brahmin first to lure Sita Devi out of the house. And then he grabs Sita Devi, puts her on the chariot, and he begins to fly away. But then who attacks them but Jatayu? And Jatayu puts up a good fight with Ravan. Ultimately, Ravan pulls out his Chandrahas, which is a sword that can cut through anything given to him by the demigods. And so he cuts through the wings of Jatayu, and Jatayu falls to the ground almost dead. Not quite dead, but almost dead. And so then Ram comes back with Lakshman, and he's all bereft, and he can't find Sita Devi, and he finds, sees this, what he thinks is a demon lying on the ground, but it's actually Jatayu. And Jatayu makes himself known to Ram. He explains what he was doing. He says, Ravan. And what happens is that then eventually leaves the body, and Ram cremates Jatayu's body. And Ram starts to head to the south. Now, the reason he heads to the south is interesting. Not only did Jatayu point him out to the south, but it's described in the Valmiki Ramayana that all the deers and the animals, they're actually pointing to the south to help Ram. And so they start marching to the south. I mean, I guess I should talk more about Sita. I can talk more about Ram's adventures in finding Sita. But anyway, so as they head to the south, I'll just be very quick about this. They run into Kabanda, who has 8 miles long arms, grabs Ram and Lakshman to take them for prasadam. And Ram and Lakshman cut off his arms, and he reveals that he's actually a demigod, or actually a Gandharva, who got cursed to take that form and pushed into a little belly, head belly, by Indra, and given long arms by Indra. And there's a whole story behind that. He was a very beautiful Gandharva before. And then Ram and Lakshman cremate him, and he tells Ram and Lakshman, head to the south. And they go to the south. And eventually they run into Shabari, who is actually a female lower caste lady, and she's waiting for them. And she tells them to go see Hanuman and Sugriva and on Mount Rishimukh, and so Ram goes there. Okay. Meantime, in Lanka, at the same time, Maya Sita, let's just say Sita from now on, although we understand it's Maya Sita. Sita is there and in the Ashoka Grove, and she's being threatened by these little Rakshasinis. And it's in Valmiki Ramayana, it describes that these Rakshasinis were not just ugly women. You know, it's one thing to have ugly women. But they had horrendous features. And I don't mean just women with mustaches. I mean some of them had heads coming out of their abdomen. That's pretty horrendous. Some of them had many heads. Some of them had animal heads. This is described in the Valmiki Ramayana. And she was basically being threatened, tortured, like that, and Ravan, he couldn't force himself upon her, but he actually told her that unless you give in to me in a year, you're going to be eaten up. I can't force myself in a sexual way on you, but I can cook you, and the Rakshasinis can cook you. And so she was taking this very, very seriously, and she actually held like a blade of grass, I think it was Kusha grass, between her and Ravan. She empowered that grass like as a Brahmastra so that Ravan couldn't come near. And she wouldn't even talk to Ravan. Ravan was actually enraged. So this went on. I'm not going to tell the whole story of, let's see, I have some notes here that I can make reference to. So this went on for some time until Hanuman encountered Ram and Lakshman. As Ram and Lakshman were trying to approach Mount Rishimukh, Hanuman took the form of a Brahmin And then Ram recognized immediately, because Hanuman had this jewel that only Ram could see, and he said, "What is that jewel on your chest?" Because Hanuman was looking like a Brahmin, and Hanuman was speaking perfect Sanskrit. And then Hanuman recognized that that was his lord, because it was predicted the only person who could recognize that jewel would be his lord Ram. And Hanuman flew with Ram and Lakshman up to Mount Rishimukh, and Hanuman introduced them to Sugriva, and then Sugriva asked their help. They made friendship. Very quickly, we're telling a story that reminds. They made friendship, and Ram agreed to kill Bali, which he did after some tests, after the first fight between Sugriva and Bali, but that's not the point of this particular story here. And then it came time for the 4 months of the rainy season, so Ram and Lakshman had to wait during the 4 months of the rainy season while Sugriva and his wife and Bali's wife were getting completely intoxicated. Lakshman woke them up to their senses after 4 months and got them to call all the monkeys. All the monkeys gathered, and it was agreed that they would look in the four different directions, and there was one group that was going to the south, and that group had Hanuman and Jambavant and some of the Nal and Neil and some of the other leaders. So they went to the south, and there's many adventures that occurred. They went to the south, and I'm not going to go into those adventures. Eventually, they reached the seashore. And they don't know what to do, so they decide to all fast to death, because they understand Sugriva is going to get very angry with them if they haven't found Sita Devi. So they decide to fast to the death, and Sampati, the brother of Jatayu, sees them and thinks he's going to eat them all as they die. However, he understands that they are on a mission for Sri Ram, and they are acquainted with Jatayu. And so Sampati instead tells them where Sita Devi is. And when he tells them where Sita Devi is, he regains his wings that had been burnt off when he was protecting his brother Jatayu from the sunshine, when Jatayu tried to fly too close to the sun. So he flies off, and all the monkeys are thinking, and the bear, are thinking, actually Jambavan wasn't a bear, Prabhupada said, he was the king of the bears, Rikshiraj. So they're thinking, how can we get across this ocean? Finally, it's decided the only one who's capable of going across the ocean, which is 800 miles at that particular point, or 80 oceanas, is Hanuman, because he's the only one who's capable of going and coming. So Hanuman has to be reminded of his great powers. He's reminded, he makes himself very, very big, jumps off the mountain. The mountain shrinks when he jumps off it, all the trees follow in his wake, and he flies off to Lanka, and of course he encounters some challenges on the way, like Mainaka, and Surasa, and other problems along the way. And finally, he reaches Lanka, makes himself really, 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 really tiny, and tries to go through Lankini, who was the guard at the gate, slaps her, and she reveals that that means that Ravan and his kingdom are going to be destroyed. He enters, and he tries to look for Sita Devi. And so I'm getting to the point of Sita Devi again. And so he goes all around, goes through Ravan's, Brahmacharini ashram, not really Brahmacharini's, Ravana's wife's ashram, and he sees everybody drunk, and Hanuman's thinking, how can I go through this ashram with all these drunk, half-naked ladies, because I'm a brahmachari, and remembers he's undergoing Lord Ram's service. And then he sees in the center of that room Ravan with a beautiful, beautiful girl next to him, and he thinks, I've found Sita Devi. So he begins to kiss his tail, as monkeys do. And then he realizes this couldn't be Sita, because Sita Devi would never be on the same bed with Raman. Actually, it's Mandodari. And so he goes further to find Sita Devi. And to make a long story short, he finds her in the Ashok Grove. And she's surrounded by these Rakshasinis. He makes himself small, like a whatever. And he's in the tree listening to these Rakshasinis torture or attempt to torture Sita Devi. Even hears Ravan come up and make a plea to Sita Devi, and he just remains very quiet. And he's at this point, he doesn't want to reveal himself to Sita Devi because he's afraid he's going to frighten Sita Devi. So he makes himself very small, and he's very small, and he begins to chant, Shri Ram Jai Ram Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram Jaya Jaya Ram. And Sita Devi hears this, then he jumps down from the tree, and Sita Devi thinks that he's Ravan or he's a Rakshasa who's trying to cheat like this. And so Hanuman assures Sita Devi that he's actually Ramdut. Ramdut means a messenger from Lord Ram. And he assures her by telling her some stories that only Ram would know. And only Sita would know. You know, some very esoteric stories. Like the story of Indra's son who attacked Sita Devi as a crow. So anyway, so then he shows her Ram's ring. And then when seeing Ram's ring, she understands he's actually Ramdut Hanuman. And Hanuman says to her, I will take you back to Ram, just hop on my shoulders. And she says, no way. There's several reasons why she refuses that. Imagine, she could have been rescued at that particular point. One reason is that she wanted Ram to be glorified. And what glorification would it be for her husband Ram if a monkey carried her back? You know, she wants Ram to save her. I mean, that's the whole point. Number two, she would never touch the body of a male, even a male monkey. And actually, Hanuman was not really a monkey. He was Kimpurusha, which means he had monkey characteristics, but he was a human being and so intelligent. Kimpurusha means, is it a person? Is it a human being? Okay. And then the third reason is that Hanuman, she gives this reason. She said, if I was on your shoulders and you were fighting off these Rakshasas, and certainly they would see you carrying me off, I would probably fall from your shoulders, especially if you started to go really fast. You know, you can imagine being on the back of a jet plane, or on the wing, sorry, the back, whatever, the wing of a jet plane as it's going through the air, 800 miles or 600 miles an hour, and Hanuman was going faster. He could travel at the speed of the wind. So what happens is that he says, okay, I'm not going to take you back, but I'm going to test these Rakshasas. So he begins to destroy the Ashok Grove, destroys the temple, kills a lot of Ravana's soldiers and even some of Ravana's sons, eventually is captured by Ravana's son Indrajit, because Indrajit uses the Brahma weapon. And Hanuman had actually gotten the benediction that he would only be kept by the Brahma weapon for a short period of time. And actually, if he had been tied by any other weapon after that, he would be free in any case. So anyway, he agrees to be captured. Then there's some discussion about what to do with him. Vibhishan wins out. And Hanuman is not killed, or they couldn't have killed Hanuman anyway, because he had control of the whole situation. And then they tried to light fire to Hanuman's tail. Hanuman sets the whole Lanka on fire. He's very worried that Sita Devi is burnt. And he looks down and he sees the whole Lanka is basically burnt, especially the armory or the weapons of Ravana are burnt. And then he sees Sita Devi is safe, and he says goodbye to Sita Devi and flies back across the ocean to see Ram. And then anyway, so he flies back across the ocean to see Ram, informs Ram eventually after he gets back to Kishkinda. And Sugriva calls his whole army. They march to the south. They build a bridge across the ocean to Lanka. And they are fighting with Ravana. And to make a long story short, they win. Ravana is killed. Okay, we're just trying to tell the story of Sita Devi here, so we're not really trying to get too much into the whole Ramayana story, although we could do that. So Ravana is killed. Oh my God, it's already late. So Ravana is killed, and Lanka is liberated, Sita is liberated, and Ram tells Sugriva, call, and Vibhishan, call for Sita Devi, let her come. So Sita Devi, which we explained before is my Sita, she mounts a chariot, not a chariot, a palanquin, sorry, and she's carried by this palanquin. As she gets closer to the Ram, all the monkeys and even the Rakshasas are fighting because they want to see the person for whom this whole battle was fought. But she doesn't want to get out of the palanquin because that's how ladies were carried around in those days. They were protected from the eyes of other men. Generally, that was there with the really high-class ladies in palanquin. Even Prabhupada's mother was carried around in a palanquin. And if they had to have men protect the ladies somehow or other, they would use the eunuchs to do that. So, but Ram says that her own chastity will protect her. Let her get out, because the whole war was fought for her, so they should see her, they'll respect her as mother. So she gets out of the chariot and she walks to Ram. And Ram says something very interesting. I'd like to read the quote here. And it's very, very heavy. Very, very heavy. It was from the Ramayana. And you may think this is the cruelest thing you've ever heard in your whole life. But remember, it's the Maya Sita he's talking to, not the real Sita. So this is a pastime. He says to her, she sees him and she says, Arya Putra means the son of the high class people. That's a very wonderful name. She was overcome with emotion. And Ram tells Sita, good woman, you are now freed. He says in a very dispassionate way, good woman, you are now freed. As a matter of my duty, I came to rescue you. It is not because of my love for you. You have been with the Rakshasas for a year. I cannot accept you as my wife as before. You are now free. Go anywhere and live and like as you like. Can you imagine someone saying that to his wife after he rescues his wife and she's been held captive for a whole year? And he says, you know, I just freed you because, you know, this is my duty. Actually, you know, it's no question of love. Just go anywhere you like, lady. Oh, my God. This is like abuse. You'd call the police after this one. So, phew. What happened? You know, Sita could hardly believe her ears. Oh, Maya Sita, of course. And she thought, if my husband doesn't want me, then what can I do? How shall I live? And she asked Lakshman, a different version of the story. One version is that Ram tells Lakshman to prepare a fire. Another story is that she asks Lakshman to prepare the fire. And Lakshman becomes so angry at Ram. And Sugriva and the others are shocked. And Lakshman begins to prepare the fire. And Lakshman's crying. He can't bear it. And Ram is just like sitting there, completely aloof, because he knows it's the Maya Sita. It's not, you know, he knows what's happening. So she bows to Ram before entering the fire. She bows to Ram before entering the fire, and she said, this is a quote, I'm reading the quote right now. O fire god Agni, if I am pure, unsullied, and faithful to my husband, protect me. So saying this, she walked into the flames. Oof. Everyone was shocked. I mean, all the women were crying. Even the monkeys and Rakshasas, they were crying. I mean, even these hard-hearted Rakshasas used to eat people. The tears were pouring from their eyes. I mean, they couldn't believe this. Then finally the fire subsided and Agni walks out carrying Sita Devi. He said to Ram, she is absolutely pure. You should not accept her. You should not refuse to accept her, sorry. And so they're very joyous. Ram and Sita are rejoined again. And Ram is thinking, I get it, got to get back to Ayodhya right away. Because if I don't go back to Ayodhya right away, my brother Bart is going to commit suicide. Because Bart had taken this vow not to live past that point of 14 years in which Ram had taken the vow of Vanaprastha. So basically, Bart is getting ready to circumambulate the fire and jump into the fire himself. So Ram says to Vibhishan, how are we going to get back? And Vibhishan says, you can borrow my airplane. which is the Pushpaka Vimana. And this Pushpaka Vimana has the ability to get as big as you want or as small as you want. So then all these other monkeys, everybody, they want to see Ayodhya. They want to go on a tour and see Ayodhya. And so Ram says to them, okay, everybody, hop on. So they all hop on, including Vibhishan. They hop on the Pushpaka Vimana. And they take off going to Ayodhya. And as they're going to Ayodhya, Ram is there seated with Sita Devi. It's a very romantic scene because they're in the Pushpaka and Ram is pointing out to Sita Devi the various places that he visited in his search for Sita Devi. In fact, he sees Mount Rishimukh. He sees, the Dandakaranya Forest and the other places where they were, and he decides to make a stop on the way to see Guha. Guha, of course, is his friend, but he's a nishada, a forest dweller. And so he wants to see his good friend, because he had promised that he would visit his good friend on the way back to Ayodhya. So in order to avoid Bart committing suicide, he instructs Hanuman to fly all the way to Ayodhya from the outskirts of the Ayodhya territory, which is where Guha is, and inform Bart he's coming so Bart doesn't commit suicide. And he flies and he tells Bart, Ram is coming. And they're both waiting to see the airplane coming through the air. And they see the lights to the airplane, Diwali. They see the lights of the airplane. Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jai Ram. So the plane lands and they have the coronation and everybody's happy. But there's no living forever after, because there is pain after some time. Because Ram and Sita are there as king and queen. But then Ram hears from a spy, because Ram has his spies, not so he can control people, but so he can get feedback from people. You know, a good king wants to hear how he's doing. Just like in the business world, you have assessments, right? So he wants to hear how he's doing so he can correct himself. So there's a washerman who's complaining. That's a Dobiwala. Who's complaining? That's Hindi. Dobiwala. So there's a washerman who's complaining that about his wife. He said, I'm not going to let my wife back. She spent the night, you know, I guess with some friends. She wasn't even unchaste. But he just said, you're not coming back to his wife. You know, I'm not like that Ram who accepted his wife back after a year. You know, real low-class guy. And so he conveys this information to Ram. Ram wants to make sure it's happening. Ram dresses himself like an ordinary person, goes out to see if it's actually true, and he hears that people are talking. Thank God there wasn't the internet then. Because if there was the internet, it would have been an absolute disaster. So Ram's reputation is at stake here. And, you know, reputation is very, very important if one wants to rule a kingdom, right? How can you rule a kingdom if you have bad reputation? You know, a king has to be respected. The king would command respect, not demand respect. In a similar way, when Krishna was in Dwarka, one time he lost his reputation when the Shyamantaka jewel disappeared. He was being accused of stealing it. Whereas in actuality, it was taken by Satyajit's brother.
Hmm.
And Satyajit's brother got attacked by a tiger, and the tiger was attacked by Jambavan, and Jambavan took the jewel. Anyway, there's a whole other story. So Krishna had to clear his reputation. So Lord Ram was very concerned. My reputation, I won't be able to rule the kingdom. So what's more important? My happiness or my service to the kingdom? Because everyone in the kingdom is called like Praja. Praja means those who were born. Also, they're considered to be like the king's children. And just like one would protect one's children, that's natural. I hope so. Of course, there's some types of fish that try to eat their children, but that's another subject matter. So one would want to protect one's children. You know, Ram wanted to protect the citizens, and he thought, I have to sacrifice my own happiness. So what he does is he doesn't tell Sita, I'm sending you away. He tells Lakshman, take Sita Devi for a ride in the forest and drop her off in the forest. And Lakshman is, oh my God. You know, he's my brother, got to listen to him, but this is too much. Too much. He agrees to do it, takes Sita Devi into the forest. Of course, he did pray to Ram later on that he would not take birth as Ram's younger brother anymore, and we see that in Krishna's pastimes and other pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He took birth as the older brother. So he drops her off in the forest, and he falls to the ground, and he can't bear it. He's rolling on the ground, he's crying, and she was just thinking, we're going for a ride in the forest, you know, just before she gives birth. She's thinking, well, I'm going to go for a ride, and my brother-in-law is actually taking me for a ride, which is all right. And he says, you're getting out here. What do you mean, I'm getting out here? She says, and he says, Ram said, you're getting out. And she says, all right. And he drops her off right outside the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And so she goes into the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And Valmiki Muni introduces her as like a forest lady, Vana Devi, which means a forest lady. So he introduces her like that because he doesn't want to tell the brahmacharis who she is. But the brahmacharis see that this lady's pregnant. Not so auspicious. You know, who knows? She may be a prostitute or something like that. The brahmacharis are thinking like that. You know, sometimes brahmacharis get a little weird in their minds. So they're thinking like that. And Valmiki Muni understands that, so he gives her a test. This is an interesting story. There's a lake right next to a big lake. It's like an 80-mile-long lake right next to the ashram. It's called Shivi Sagara. It's like an ocean, Sagara. Anyway, and because once upon a time, there was a little pigeon. Little, not that little, but he was a pigeon. She was a pigeon, or they both were, he and she were pigeons. So there was a man and a pigeon and his pigeon wife. Kapota, a kapoti in Sanskrit. So there was two pigeons, they were married, and the second pigeon, the lady pigeon, came back late from catching worms one day. And the male pigeon said, you're late, you're not chaste. And she said, I never heard of a pigeon being chased. Like Prabhupada said, sometimes pigeons can have light, you know, sex life 50 times a day or more. So anyway, and he said, the male pigeon, Uvacha, said, yes, but we are in an ashram. And in an ashram, pigeons are chaste to their husbands. And are you chaste? And she says, I am. And he says, prove it. And she says, I will prove it by my chastity. I will fly over this whole lake, and I won't get wet. It's an 80-mile-long lake. You know, no pigeon is capable of that. Impossible. So this pigeonita, however you say it, begins to fly over this lake. And she starts to fall down close to the water, and she begins to pray to the demigods, a very pious pigeon. And the demigod of the wind, Vayu, helps her. Whew! She flies over the lake and doesn't get wet. And the male pigeon accepts her back, and they live happily ever after in their pigeon lives. So that's the reason the lake is called Shivi Shagra. So Valmiki Muni says, all right, Sita Devi, or Vana Devi, you have to do the same thing. And, you know, ladies don't normally fly, as far as I know. And she does the same thing without getting wet. She proves to the brahmacharis. The brahmacharis, wow. She's definitely chaste. It's almost like that story in Vrindavan where to prove that the most chaste lady in Vrindavan has to walk across the Jamuna River on a bridge of Krishna's hair, carrying a water pot with 1,000 holes in it and not having any of the water escape. And the only person to do that is, guess what? Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani passes the test of being the most chaste lady in Vrindavan, even though Kutila tried it before and she fell flat on her face and almost drowned in the Jamuna. They had to save her. So lifeguard had to go out and rescue Jatila because she fell on her face. So, anyway, so Sita Devi proves that, and she eventually gives birth to two twins. And those twins are Lav and Kush. And Lav and Kush grow up hearing from Valmiki Muni. Valmiki Muni, as we've mentioned before in our story in the Ramayana, has realized in his heart the pastimes of Lord Ram from chanting Ram's name. In the same way, if you chant Krishna's name, Nama, Guna, Rupa, Leela, what's revealed to you? Of course, the name, Krishna. No, Hare Krishna, like that. Then, the qualities of Krishna are revealed to you. Oh, Krishna is all merciful. Adirodata, Adirodata, Dira Prashanta, Dira Lalita. And if you don't know what that means, read the Nectar of Devotion. So that's revealed to you. And then Rupa, the form of Krishna, appears before you. And you see the beautiful Tribhanga, threefold bending form of Krishna playing a flute. Then, after that, the Leela of Krishna is revealed. Everything's in the name. So Valmiki Muni had achieved that by chanting in the beginning, Mara, 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 which became Ram, 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 Ram. And everything was revealed to him. Okay. So, she's in the ashram, and Valmiki Muni is composing the Ramayana poetry, beautiful poetry, world's largest epic poem. And he's reciting this Ramayana to Lav and Kush. And Lav and Kush, the sons of Lord Ram, they hear this and they memorize it, because people are very intelligent there, especially if you're Lord Ram's son. You've got to be bright. You got to have a 4.0 average in your university year. Years, if you're the sons of Lord Ram. You don't have to worry about anything. Who's your father? Oh, but they didn't know it was Lord Ram was their father. They thought, we don't know our father. Vanadevi is our mother. So they become like wandering minstrels, and they go out and they chant the glories of Lord Ram, and then they go to Ayodhya one day, because the ashram of Valmiki Muni is right on the border of Ayodhya. So they go into the city of Ayodhya, and they start chanting about Ram's pastimes and dancing, playing on the sitar or whatever instruments they play, certainly not the guitar. And it's reported to Ram, and so they are entertaining, they're invited to entertain Ram with the story of the Ramayana. And so they're entertaining Ram up to the point where Sita Devi is actually banished. And so they ask, you know, what happens at that point? And then Ram understands at that point that these are his sons. And then there's some arrangement. Valmiki Muni appears and he says, you should accept Sita Devi back. And Ram says, I will accept Sita Devi back only if she can come before me and attest that she's been chaste. I mean, this is really something really cruel from one perspective. Only if she's been chaste. So this is after so many years. It's actually thousands, tens of thousands of years because people live longer in those days. It's not just like 2 years, you know, 2 days, she goes on a Christmas vacation and comes back to Ram. This is after 10,000 years, several tens of thousands of years. And Ram, in the meantime, has been performing sacrifices because he doesn't have Sita Devi there. He's never gets married again because he's taken a vow, Eka Patni Vrata, one wife, one life. And he's doing these sacrifices with a deity of Sita Devi, a golden deity of Sita Devi, besides him. So, anyway, so she comes into the assembly and they say, are you going to attest to the fact that you've never thought of anyone else other than Ram? And she's had it. At this point, she's fried. This is abusive to Sita Devi. And she says, I'm finished with this world. I don't want any more to do with this world. And she said, if I have never thought of anyone else, if I have always been chaste to Lord Ram, Mother, Earth Goddess, please take me away from this horrible place. To Kalima Shashvatam. Take me away from this horrible place. And all of a sudden, the earth opens up. Earthquake. And there's a crevice that gets wider and wider and wider. And then Bhumi, the earth goddess, comes up and she says, daughter, please sit on this seat with me and I will take you away from these people. So she sits and then they go into the earth. The earth closes up like that. And Ram is so upset. He says, I'm going to destroy all the universes. Destroy everyone unless you bring Sita Devi back to me. And he's stopped, of course, by Lakshman and stopped by voices from the demigods. No, this is not your mission. You will rejoin Sita Devi when you go back to the spiritual world. And so then Ram continues as the king there or the emperor there for many more years. Eventually, Ram enters the Sarayu River along with the residents of Ayodhya and he goes to the spiritual world and rejoins Sita Devi. So the point is, it appears that Ram is extremamente cruel, but not really. Ram is actually enabling himself and Sita Devi to be connected in the deepest, deepest, most intimate fashion, which is in the mood of Vipralamba. Of course, this is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dyugaitam nimishena chakshusha parvashaitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda vedahename. Oh my Lord, Krishna, I'm feeling your separation. A moment is like an eon, yugas. And I'm feeling this whole world is useless, vacant, void in your absence. And so that mood and relationship with Krishna or Ram or any of the incarnations of Krishna or one spiritual master brings one closer together so there's no separation. And that's a loving mood. There is no separation, ultimately, between Ram and Sita. This is their intensity. So when you're feeling this mood of separation, of course, you won't feel like Sita Devi or like Radha, you know, Mahabhava. You're actually connected. If you're feeling like that with Krishna, you're chanting your holy names, not your holy names, Krishna's holy name, or your japa. You're chanting the holy names with that mood of intensity. Then you're so much connected, depending on how intense Tivreina Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, how intense your chanting is, that will determine how close you are with the object of your love. That's Ram and Sita. So this is a pastime so they could experience that intensity of emotion. It was their desire. And you see this similar type of pastime in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and in the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 16. Some acharyas say 12, but 16. Prabhupada said 16, so let's take it as 16. And the gopis, they were very young and left to lament their whole existence for over 100 years, feeling Krishna's separation. And so in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, you have Vishnu Priya, Lord Chaitanya's wife, and Lord Chaitanya's upsanyas. When she was 16 years of age, and he left his loving mother and his loving wife, who was the goddess of fortune, Sita. Actually, Vishnu Priya is non-different from Sita Devi. And so he left them like that. And she worshipped the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, eating, some people say, one grain of rice for each Hare Krishna. Some people say one grain of rice for each Rama. I say one grain of rice for each Hare Krishna. And that's what she ate, just feeling this mood of separation. But these are not the activities of ordinary persons in this world. Ordinary persons in this world, they are separated, and it's cruel. And when they're together, they're arguing with each other and yelling at each other. Not always, of course. But with Ram and Sita Devi and Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and Vishnu Priya and even Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Priya, Lord Chaitanya's first wife, left this world feeling separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he was gone for a short time. He just went to do some preaching in East Bengal. And then she left being bitten by the snake bite of separation. The separation took the form of a snake. So these are the Lord's pastimes. We don't imitate the Lord's pastimes. But at the same time, we can feel really pained, because that pain is actually a spiritual emotion. Like I could say about Lord Ram's leaving Sita like that, or sending Sita Devi away, I don't like that pastime. I understand philosophically the meaning of that pastime, but it's not that I have to like it, and that not liking it is not blasphemous. That not liking it is my bhav. You understand? Because I'm not. Well, I may be angry at Ram. So, can't say I'm not angry. I am angry at Ram for sending Sita Devi away. But that's Bob. I still love Ram. I love Sita. And I understand philosophically on one level. On another level, there's the emotions there. So, but there's something happening beyond the realm of our understanding in this material world. The relationship between Ram and Sita. They're always together, never separated. Radha and Krishna are never separated. And Lord Chaitanya and Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya are never separated. Try to remember that. So, anyway, so today is Sita Devi's appearance day. We did not get a chance to talk about anyone else. Oh my God. We didn't get a chance to talk about Janava Mata. Okay, Janava Mata, very quickly, she's the wife of Lord Nityananda. She was a great acharya in our sampradaya. She performed the Kethari ceremony, which was the first major Gorpranima celebration, installed the deities, preached to all the other Vaishnavas like Narottama Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda. And I just want to read one statement that Bhaktivinoda Thakur made in relationship to Janabhamata, great Acharya. And then we'll end class. We're not going to have time for questions. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Kalyana Kalpa Taru has prayed as follows to the lotus feet of Janabhamata. Having fallen into this ocean of misery, my life is a bewilderment, and I do not know how to reach its shore, nor even where to search for it. All my efforts, karma, are useless. All my knowledge, jnana, is also useless. Whoops. Hold on a second. As are mysticism, yoga, austerity, religious penance, and mundane piety. None of these processes have any power to rescue me. I am weak, helpless. I do not know how to swim across this ocean of ignorance. Who will deliver me from this dangerous predicament? Within this dangerous ocean of material existence, I see crocodiles of sense gratification. What a terrible sight. Within this ocean, I am tossed about by the turbulent waves which constantly boil and churn like a ship without a rudder. The impulses and urges that I've acquired from my previous births are like a wind that blows the ship in all directions. Wonderfully poetic. My mind is unsteady. The ship has no captain, no direction. I weep in despair, seeing that I cannot cross this ocean of misery. O Janava Devi, today, by the power of your divine qualities, be merciful to me. Be merciful to the servant of yours. Dispel this illusion which torments me and relieve me of the anguish of material existence. Let me take shelter at your lotus feet, for in this way I shall certainly cross over the ocean of birth and death. You are Nityananda Shakti, the divine energy of Nityananda himself. You are the guru of Krishna Bhakti. Be merciful to me and grant me the shade of your holy lotus feet, which are like a wish-fulfilling tree. You have delivered countless abominable sinners. Please deliver me in the same way. Today, this lowly sinner falls at your holy feet, praying for your mercy. So after Lord Chaitanya's associates passed away, Lord Nityananda, her husband, left this world, she became the main acharya. So this is proof, of course, that ladies can become acharyas, gurus in our sampradaya. And she is a perfect example of that. And the other devotees, such as Narottama Das Thakur, Shyamananda, and Srinivasacharya, worshipped her as well as all the Vaishnavas. When she went to when she went to Vrindavan, all the Vaishnavas worshipped her. Jiva Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami built her a special bathing place at Radhakund. She installed the deities in Radhakund. Radha Gopinath in Radhakund. And actually there's a deity of her sitting right next to Radha Gopinath, right next to the samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami, and right next to her sitting place and bathing place at the holiest place anywhere in Radhakund. So today we pray for the mercy of Sri Janava Devi, the consort, the energy of Lord Nityananda, and pray for her mercy, and pray for Sita Devi's mercy. And please pray to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada to give us some understanding of these transcendental topics. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening or tomorrow morning, depending on where you are. There's no time for questions. All glories to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.